Hey friends, Megan here. Just wanted to give you a quick heads up before we get into this week's episode because we're doing things just a little bit different this week. We wanted to shine a spotlight on another podcast by the name of Monster Hour, and rather than me go into it, I'll let them do the talking.
Hello everyone and welcome to Monster Hour, an actual play podcast about going to school, arguing with your parents, and ruining your favorite outfit while hunting horrible monsters. Narrative driven and crisply edited with painfully relatable characters. Monster Hour follows unlikely heroes JR.
Super suspicious. That's sort of my deal.
Constance.
I may be a bit of a know-it-all, but I might actually know-it-all.
And Alvin.
I'm monstrous.
As they unravel the sinister mysteries of a strange Colorado town. If you're a fan of Stranger Things, Buffy, or the Adventure Zone Amnesty, you'll love Monster Hour. Tune in for new episodes every other Tuesday, wherever you get your podcasts.
Hello, everyone, and welcome to the Roll Less Taken Roulette. It hasn't been long for you, but it's been long for us. It's been like 3 weeks since we've recorded, and because I'm a kind, benevolent person, I will, as the MC, take over the recapping duties, but not before everyone introduces themselves, including me, because I haven't even said my name yet. I'm Mike, and I'm the MC. I run this shit.
I'm Tom. I play Ross Roberts and try my best to come up with colors, but it didn't go so well last time, so that's why we're going again.
Hi, I'm Megan, and I play Bear. No colors, just crazy.
Hi, I'm Graham, and I play Finch, and I don't have a tagline.
I'm Perry, and I play Lemon. It's great fun.
And there's the bit.
There's the bit.
I stole Perry's bit.
I always feel like maybe we should shake up the order and let Perry go first and see what happens. Would that be even more pressure for you, though?
If you sprung it on me?
Yeah.
It's hard to feel pressure when something has been sprung on me, but what I will say is don't have expectations. Just because you put me first, it doesn't mean I'm going to come up with a bit in a moment of genius. It just means that I'll be boring, but first.
Okay.
At least consistent.
Boring sooner.
I could not be a stand-up person.
Would you be a sit-down person?
You're a stand-up person. You're just not a stand-up comedian.
Correct. Thank you.
All right. I honestly, guys, I don't even know what episode number it is. I was wrong last time anyways, so we're just going to stop saying episode numbers at this point, and I'm just going to tell you what happened last time. Shit got a little crazy. The Winnebago blew up. And it took out a nice chunk of the bar with it. The bar was on fire, and everyone was going nutso. Well, not really. But it turns out the town was being attacked, so our intrepid heroes, decided to try and take care of that attack. Bear managed to save His Holiness Lord Roadkill, who was trapped on the second floor of the inn, but is perfectly fine. And then you guys just kind of went ham on some people who I thought were going to be more dangerous than they were. Bear ran over Reuben Bailey with her motorcycle and basically turned him into corned beef hash. So that encounter went about as well as I had hoped. And then you killed a bunch of people. And that's basically where we ended, because the episode ended with me going, wow, I thought that was going to be a lot harder. But then I realized that PCs are meant to survive encounters, unlike NPCs.
We're not meant to be human meat.
You play everything on the highest difficulty, so why wouldn't you create a game in which that's what you expect us to play?
That wasn't the highest difficulty, though. That was easy. Now, I do guarantee you there will be harder encounters later, but here's the other thing, and I may have said this at the end of the episode. I did that so you guys could just work out some aggression in game, so hopefully you'd stop
trying to kill each other.
It's no longer PvP.
Yeah.
Beating Ross upside the head with a crowbar? Oh, okay.
Not once, but twice.
Oh, he says like he had no part in escalating that altercation.
Oh man, it's starting.
At least one was unprovoked.
Meanwhile, Finch is just over here eating weird shit. And
you haven't tried to kill anybody yet. You're probably the only one who hasn't tried to kill someone in the party.
I tried to warp somebody out a couple of times, but just that didn't work.
Yeah, I think it was mostly Bear every single time.
Because Finch likes Bear.
Bear, you're high right now. You're going crazy.
Yeah.
Let's get out of here.
Bear's going to turn over a new leaf. Don't worry.
Is it because there's drugs on the other side of the leaf?
We'll see.
The drugs are greener on the other side of the fence.
Ooh.
As the expression goes.
So you guys ended last episode by shepherding the three remaining members of the rival bike gang, whose name I can't remember right now, back towards the town.
The wolves, weren't they? The wolf pack.
The wolf pack, that's right, because it's a wolf pack joke.
So we're escorting them back to town?
See.
I think we were going to take them to the king of town's house and lock them bad boys up.
And who's the king of town?
Ross Roberts is the king of town. Who run Bartertown? Ross Roberts run Bartertown.
And you are actually the de facto king of town now, since good old Jack bit the big one in the Winnebago explosion.
Oh, did he really?
Yeah.
Did we know this?
Yeah, you knew that.
I don't know if we know it yet, but it is something that we have established, damn. I think, yeah.
Also, real quick, we disarm them of everything that they can use against us.
Such a good RPG trope. You did it. Good job. You have disarmed them.
If anybody's new to playing RPGs, write that one down.
I solved your puzzle.
Finch is going to break away from the group and make sure that the dead guys don't come back as Wolves of the Maelstrom. His original plan is to hamstring them, but if somebody has a better plan, he will listen to that.
What does that mean?
Cut their hamstrings.
So that if they try to get up, they can't get up because they're A, dead, but B, they don't have legs to work.
Are you sneaking off to mutilate the corpses on your own, Finch? Like, are you trying to keep it hidden?
No. He's just like, you know, this is an important thing that I must take care of.
Are the rest of us walking back to the King of Town's house as a group?
Yeah, I guess Finch just doesn't go with you. He just stays behind.
Yeah, Lemon would stay with the three...
With the three people?
People, because she's... got a vested interest in finding out what they know.
Someone's got to do the mortician shit. The king of town ain't one of them.
Where's Finch running off to?
I don't know, but I didn't see him bringing his paints and canvas with him, so I just plain don't know.
That's one thing off the list he isn't doing.
It's the only thing Ross cares about. Tisk tisk.
I mean, yeah, he's making no secrets about it. Like, he just pulls out his knife and just starts, you know, mutilating the corpses.
Good for you.
Megan, please add some squishy, splashy sounds in post.
Homa, you want some help roughing up them corpses?
All right, so, yep, the rest of you are heading towards town as Finch does his dirty work, unless you're hanging around to watch it for whatever reason.
Not at all.
Nah.
I feel no... need to do that.
Yeah, Finch will catch up with you guys when he's done.
He's an independent woman who don't need no man.
All right, as you get back into town, you can see that the fire has basically been put out. There wasn't too much damage sustained at the bar, but the Winnebago is el busto. It literally exploded. So, yeah, there's basically just a big old scorch mark on the ground where it was, and bits and pieces of scrap metal all over.
Can we send, like, some folks to go salvage what they can out of the Winnebago? Because I am assuming there was lucrative drug material in there.
Oh, yeah, there was plenty of sugar and poop.
I was gonna say, even though we know that chrome is made of poop.
The mushrooms are the important part. But, yeah, you can...
Well, you could have led with that, then, instead of sugar and poop, but...
Yeah. Anyways, you can scavenge through the wreckage and see if you can find anything. You're not actually going to find anything of real value. Everything's kind of been scorched. You're basically just going to find scrap metal and maybe glass at this point.
Well, this puts a rather serious damper on our new business venture.
Hate to see these stormy rain clouds rolling in just like that.
It was fun while it lasted.
The sun will come out again.
That's right, my friend. Hope remains. We've got these three.
Yes. Meddling, fellas. You're gonna have a good time. We're all about to have a good time.
They look at each other nervously, but none of them say anything.
You can put that fancy new crowbar to good use.
Ooh, that does sound like a fun activity. I wonder what lies inside these little meat-fixated noggin crates.
I just threw up in my mouth a little bit.
Yeah, at this point, one of them is going to attempt to run away.
Can I go after them?
Oh, yeah, totally.
I was going to say, can I just shoot him?
Is Finch on his way? Where is Finch in relation? Can he intercept the guy?
You're mutilating corpses. We're already ahead of you.
Am I not done with that yet? How long does it take to mutilate a few corpses?
Graham, I honestly can't answer that question, to be honest with you.
I'm not familiar.
I was gonna make a joke, but we've already gone pretty dark this episode, so I'm just gonna say I don't know.
Okay.
I will say I'd have to guess several minutes.
Okay.
It's a pretty thick muscle. Got a couple of hams.
Couple of hams.
I hate this episode so far. Can I just go on record?
Anyways, Bear, you want to just chase after the guy?
Yeah, I just want to chase after him and I guess tackle him, take him down.
Ross will watch with pistol drawn.
Ooh.
It's an RPG game and you should roll some dice.
All right, I'll just roll some dice.
You're making a hard roll.
Hard roll.
You gonna put a Philly cheesesteak on it?
That was a 10.
That was a 10. All right, you definitely succeed. Are you just, like, football tackling him down to the ground?
So as they run away, I'm going to tackle their legs.
Okay.
Like, wrap my arms around them, take them down. Use them as a cushion as I hit the ground.
All right, yeah. So you take him down, and he mutters... Well, not mutters. He yells some profanities. Ah, should I give this guy an accent? No, he's probably not going to live for very long, so. She's like, ah, fuck. Just let me go.
Where do you think you're going?
No, I'm attached to my noggin or whatever the fuck that weird guy said.
They're only going to fill you with candy.
Why don't I believe you?
Why don't I believe you? That would be a terrible fate. You have to be hollowed out before you can be filled with candy.
I just want to ask a few questions.
He's going to take at your hands and try to get away.
I want to stop him.
Can Lemon come up with her pistol and, you know, point the pistol at his head as a disincentive? Unless I get the impression that Bear really wants to have this fight. If Bear needs to have this out, I'm going to let her do that.
I need this.
If Bear wants the Slugfest 3000.
When I turned Reuben into ground beef, I think I had my moment. I had my fill.
All right.
Hamburger Helper was consumed.
Bear would definitely try to stop him, but she wouldn't be opposed to you helping her.
Groovy, can I walk over with my pistol and point it at his head? Cocked.
You can certainly do that.
I am just about all out of patience with you young men. You have a couple of choices. You can take your risk with the crazy crowball man, or you can die right now. I have two of your friends who are willing to talk.
Look who's the crazy crowbar man now.
That's a manipulate roll.
Oh no, didn't I not build her to do that?
Oh, how the tables have turned.
It's not a manipulate roll. She's not lying.
Is it a threat?
It's a threat. I'm gonna shoot him in the head if he doesn't stop. This is Lemon.
A threat is still manipulation.
You're manipulating him with the threat.
And of course, your hot stat is -2, but you know.
Yes, it is.
Oh boy.
Oh, God.
This man is dead.
It's a zero.
I rolled a 2 -2 = 0.
You did it!
You did it!
Drop the banner!
He keeps kicking at Bear, and he manages to, like, kick her in the nose so that she lets go of him. He scrambles up to his feet and starts sprinting away.
I shoot him.
Ross shoots him.
We both shoot him. He gets 2 bullets in the back.
Pulp Fiction style, you both just shoot him, and he goes down. And good thing I didn't give him an accent. Or a name, because he's dead.
You guys are just making more work for Finch.
We don't know that.
Yeah. Get slicing, boy.
Finch sighs, rolls his eyes, and walks forward and starts slicing into the hamstring.
Rolls up his sleeves.
Flash forward 5 years. Finch accepts his role as the local butcher in Delicatessen. Though he serves up some strange meats from time to time, the town does agree that it's quite delicious, and it's quite lucrative for him as well.
I would like to say that that man's name is Incentive, and I turn back to the other two.
Ooh. They didn't make any move to run away, so they were definitely behaving.
The Duchess of Sathington has a great point. Now let's get you fellas off to the land of food and happiness, by which I mean my basement, by which I mean some jail cells in my basement.
Bear's just gonna do that thing where, like, you know, she gets up off the ground and kind of holds her nose and, like, touches underneath it to see if there's any blood from being kicked in the face. I'm assuming I'm fine.
You've got a little red on you.
You've got red on you.
Just tilt your head back. You'll be fine.
Pinch my nose. I was looking forward to filling him with candy.
We could still fill him with candy in the fun way.
It's not as fun.
Bring some joy to the children. Let them take some wax at the guy that just trying to ruin their day and let a little candy fall out of him.
Maybe later.
Yeah. Yeah. Ross looks like wistfully up at the sky.
All right, so you escort the other two gentlemen down to Ross's basement. And I presume you're going to just put them in the cell that has now held Alistair, and then Alistair and Lemon.
Is there just one cell down there or multiple cells?
Just one.
Okay. Well, yeah. And if they have anything that conceivably looks like it could get them out of a cell, I make sure they don't have it.
Yeah, that too.
Megan covered that base already. No, they're...
She said weapons. I wanted to make sure you weren't giving us, like, evil genie MC voodoo.
You never said.
No, I'm not that irritating. Yeah, they're pretty much just wearing the clothes on their back at this point.
I'm going to ask them if they want a ham sandwich. You boys want a ham sandwich?
Do you... Is this a trick?
Do you want a ham sandwich?
One says yes and the other says no.
Which one says yes?
The one on your left.
Hey, buddy, what's your name?
Hamthony.
You son of a bitch!
He beat you to it.
Ross puts up his hand for a high five. From Hamthony.
He tentatively returns your high five.
Ross pulls his hand down and says, "Too slow!
Son of a bitch!"
And then gleefully absconds upstairs to get Hamthony some manner of sandwich, which is as close to an approximation of ham as possible.
And probably spam.
Yeah.
Spam on crackers.
I remember you eating that in college, so, you know.
Not on crackers.
Oh, that's true. I think you just ate it straight.
Yeah. If you fry spam, it's delicious. I am here to say, listeners of The Roll Less Taken, that spam is not terrible. Slice it up and fry it, and it's a tasty treat. This has been Spam's Plug of the Week.
For more recipes, follow Tom at...
My name is Ross, and I'm here to say I like to fry spam in a major way.
That beat going.
All right, so you give Hamthony his spam sandwich, which he happily munches away at. And the other guy just kind of stares at him jealously.
Hey, buddy, you had a chance to say you liked the ham sandwich, but you were like, no, ham sandwiches aren't for me. I like to eat the dust off floors because I'm Mr. Happy Mr. Grayside. I like to lick paint chips.
I didn't say any of that.
Sometimes silence speaks louder than words. Maybe next time you're asked if you want something, you'll be honest about it. Ross just turns his back on him, leaves, and goes upstairs.
Are the other three of you still downstairs?
Yeah, I've been just in the corner watching.
I've caught up with everyone.
Yes.
Bear's pacing the dirt floor, is looking at her somewhat clean white t-shirt, wondering if there's any way she can get her blood out but leave the other blood in.
Precision bleaching.
Tide pens.
When Finch stands next to people, you all notice that he's like a little bit taller and his clothes are like, I don't know, it's like he went through a growth spurt since the last time you saw him. He's like a couple inches taller.
Are you wearing human high heels, Finch?
No.
Platforms.
No.
He took their heel bones and added them to his heel bones.
Damn it, you figured out my secret.
He made shoes out of feet and feet out of shoes.
No, he's been that way the whole time. You just haven't noticed because he hasn't been standing next to you guys.
What?
He's a little bit taller.
Do you mean for the whole podcast or
since he went into the like the since he got like warped out of
recently.
Existence
this recently. Is a recent
yes
okay
so maybe you noticed it earlier but now I'm pointing it out. It's something I wanted to try and establish but didn't have a moment into until right now.
Is Finch downstairs?
Yes.
Okay. I'm milling about upstairs. Ross is just kind of like pacing, thinking about what to do.
Are you eating your Wheaties, Finch?
Hmm?
Are you eating your Wheaties?
What are Wheaties?
Don't worry about it.
Okay, then no.
Are you still eating ladybugs?
No, those don't agree with me.
That's a good boy.
But the birds do.
I mean, people eat chicken.
I'm gonna interrogate these fuckers or what?
Well, certainly, Sugar. Would you like to start or shall I?
Bear looks right at Lemon and goes, age before beauty.
I'm afraid I don't know how old you are. I don't know how old I am. Hold on. I think Lemon's in her 30s.
This is a good time to note that I was looking at everyone's character sheets, which I haven't done for a while. And underneath Lemon's appearance, I have written the words fit fat. So
I have written the words muscled but cheeseburgers.
Muscled but cheeseburgers.
Essentially the same thing. So
that is a shirt.
Lemon is 32.
I don't know how old Bear is.
Just say younger than 32.
Younger than 32.
Oh, that means I go first.
So that was a real slap in the nuts then.
That was the point.
Yeah.
Someone's a little punchy tonight. All right.
They ruined my favorite shirt.
Well, I'm very sorry, but you did fly your motorcycle into a gentleman. That was bound to have consequences. And life isn't always about your favorite shirt, sugar.
Should be.
I'll be over here with these two charming men. So Lemon's gonna go over to the two guys, one of whom I assume is still eating a sandwich.
Correct.
Well, gentlemen, you have met the acquaintance of my business partners. You have your choice of who you would like to deal with among my three business partners. There is myself, the man upstairs with the crowbar, and my good friend in the corner with the blood on her shirt. This is where you pick.
Barry gives a thumbs up.
The guy that's not Hampton, he says, well, what about the kid? I want to deal with the kid.
Do you?
Finch walks up to the bars, pulls his knife out, and goes, are you a wolf of the maelstrom?
I mean, we're called the wolf pack, but I've never heard that maelstrom part.
I'll be careful what you say, wolves in front of the child.
He just looks at the guy, like, impassively. Through the bars.
It's a shame that there are no canaries, because I would just give him a live canary to eat in front of these two.
You don't know it was a live bird.
It's like some Ozzy Osbourne shit. Here, eat, bite the head off this avian creature.
I think of no better tactic. This is a mining town, alas.
Well, kid.
What?
He just stares back at you.
The man would like to deal with you on behalf of our business.
Oh.
He views you as a managing partner. You are free to speak with him.
I've already asked my question, though.
Are you hungry?
A little bit.
I saw some robins outside in the tree.
Are you just making a canon that... No, I guess Finch does eat birds, huh?
It's one time Finch ate a bird. One time he coughed up a bird skeleton.
Yes.
You eat a bird once and it becomes your legacy.
Finch just, like, looks around, shrugs, and sneaks through one of his, like, tunnels back to his secret base.
I'm afraid that the boy does not likewise want to deal with you. You are left with your original three choices.
Bear, what are you doing?
I'm still mussing with my shirt, every so often looking up at them.
Ross walks back downstairs holding, like, an orange or something of the ilk with a rind that is not meant to be eaten, and then bites directly through it while looking at the cage. And just chews nonchalantly on rind and fruit entirely.
Not him. Not him.
That's understandable. You have two choices left. So does your friend, by the way.
Oh, we're giving him choices. Oh, that's fun. I like that.
Just for now. She, like, pulls up a chair, sits outside the...
Well, you seem the most invested in this, so I guess... What do you need to know?
Well, I'd like to know who sent you, who's left, on whose authority did you come, and for what, to begin with. And then I'll have some other questions, I imagine. You may answer those in any order you like.
We came here under the authority of one, well, the late Mr. Reuben Bailey, who found out that his drug ring was being cut into. So we came here to check it out, and lo and behold, there was our Winnebago.
You mean my Winnebago?
He said their Winnebago. Isn't that funny?
Well, it's no one's Winnebago now.
And whose fault is that?
Oh, that's our fault.
I know.
You're dealing with the wrong business partner. I'm not here to give you advice, but... Your night can go several ways, my friend, and it really rather depends on who you decide to talk to.
I see. How many of us did you kill? Five? Six?
How many is all of you?
Well, we were probably about 15 strong, so now we're probably about 6 strong. 6 weak, maybe.
All of you came to town, or some of you were left behind?
No. We left some people behind.
I was going to say, I didn't see any stragglers running back for the road. That does comfort me. So there are 6 that is counting you?
Yeah.
So there are 4 left in Source?
Yes.
My understanding is that you have connections within that town.
Well...
You are tolerated by the mayor.
We... used to have connections, you know, with the whole Reuben being dead thing. I don't know how well that's going to play out anymore.
It does seem that you are down and it's sufferable aristocrat to act as a go-between, doesn't it?
He wasn't that bad.
He's dead now, so it doesn't really matter what he was like.
Fair point.
Well, here's the deal. Well, I'm not suggesting a deal. I'm just saying, like, here's the situation.
Tell me your situation.
We basically were the town watch, I think. That one over there, and he points at Barry's like, she's part of the Vultures, right?
That I am.
Okay, so you're kind of like the town guard here, right?
You could say so.
That was kind of our deal.
You did a shitty job.
Thanks.
You're welcome.
Now, I don't really know what's going to happen. We're not strong enough to maintain our position. We have a leader of the gang, but he answered to Reuben, so our situation's probably a little fucked.
What's your name?
My name is Cal.
What the fuck kind of name is that?
Well, what's your name?
Bear.
You're named after an animal.
Better than Cal. It's neither here nor there.
He turns back to Lemon, pointedly.
I don't mean to insult you.
She does mean to insult you, but I wouldn't let it worry you.
What if we were to absorb your group into the Vultures?
I'd be okay with that. It means I get to live, right?
That really depends on how the rest of the night goes, but theoretically, yes, it does.
I mean, the VP makes the final call, but he's benevolent. That's a new word I learned.
Where's the VP?
He's busy.
Is it you're not the VP? It's not him, is it? And he points at Ross.
No, I run my own operation.
What I'm trying to say is if you're willing to deal with me, I'll take you into the Vultures.
Whatever keeps me alive.
But can I trust you?
Ross just kind of laughs when he hears that, and like with a mouth full of orange rind.
He's like, I was about to answer that like this. Yes, but that doesn't sound convincing. So I'm just going to say yes.
Bear walks closer to the cell and pulls the sawed-off shotgun out of her like hip holster and points it at him.
Yeah, he backs way off, he puts his back up against the wall of the cell and he puts his hands up.
The thing, my friend Cal, when she's insulting you, she is not busy blowing you into a million tiny pieces. Do you understand?
Ross just laughs while this is going on, eating his orange, and just kind of says to himself, oh, look, there's Ross. He's the scary one offering people ham sandwiches and eating an orange.
First impressions matter.
Bear just, like, puts her arm behind her that's not holding the shotgun and just gives Ross the finger.
Ross just smiles.
So here's the other half of our situation. Your boss, who's back in Source, I assume, who answered to Reuben Bailey. Is he a sensible man?
Yeah. Yes.
Bear fixes a stare.
Ross laughs again.
Can he be made to see reason?
Probably, yeah. I can't speak for anyone else, but I can give you a probability of 60% yes.
That's enough to fill in the other 40% with lead if he's not amenable on a 60%.
Hey, I will sell the fuck out of that guy if I get to live.
I do keep you around for your math skills. Weren't you originally like the treasurer or like the accountant or some shit?
Ross was, yeah.
Yeah.
Yep.
Okay, sorry.
That was your ruse.
That's true.
Like 100 episodes ago, that was your ruse.
Finally, we get to see some.
Though Lemon keeps calling him that.
That's my accountant, don't worry.
Lemon.
Yes, sugar?
Is that a high percentage?
60%? It depends on how many men we send and how big they are and how big their guns are, really. 60% is more like 75% if your guns are big enough. Why?
Just wondering. That's all.
All right. Well, so the situation is that 4 of your members are back in Source with a town that they can't defend alone, and my understanding is there's an entire drug empire without its head fixture, and we had here half of that empire as it was. So I am proposing a business deal, which makes everyone happy, but most importantly, gives me access to the drugs and their profits, split, of course, evenly with my 3 business associates here.
Finch is gone.
Was he ever in on the cut?
Yeah, I think I got like I think he got like 10% though, like, because 10%. He doesn't really know what money is for.
So I am guaranteed at least my life.
Bear shrugs.
If this deal goes through, I need you to have stake in this, you understand? Because I have stake in this, and if you are going to be part of my retinue, then you need to have stake in this. So I am incentivizing that stake. If you can help us get this deal set up, then you are guaranteed your life.
Fuck it. I'm in. Hampton East stands up and he looks to Ross and goes, you said you run your own enterprise. What's your enterprise?
Well, my friend, my enterprise is just about looking at life in a more colorful way. Finding the blue in the blue skies. Seeing the gray in the gray skies is something not to be feared, but admired. Intriguing. Something that can just be analyzed and dreamed up and dreamed out, if you can understand what I'm saying. I have some fellows who follow me, and we just try to look at life through that different lens, and, well, it's a little bit of a different approach, but it's one that I think many people have found to be desirable. Plus, we eat all the spam we want.
I want that.
Everybody gets one new cult member.
Ross will just, like, call upstairs to one of the guys, like Lucas or something.
Lucas, my friend, I need your help down here. Our friend Hampthony has decided to paint with the many colors of the world around him.
So, basically what we will do...
Get him an initiate smock.
We're gonna need you to just stay here a little bit longer, but we'll make sure you're well fed, you're well taken care of, and you'll have friends around to keep you company, and you know, within just a few days you'll be out and about and everything will be beautiful vistas and sunlit skies.
He drops to his knees and says, sounds good.
Is this like right before you drive the like railroad tie up his nose?
Jesus. We just have a little
initiation
rite that's called an orbital lobotomy. It's really painless.
Ross is the scary one.
But it does help you see colors.
We just peel your eyes back so that you can never shut them, and the strain lets you see the 14th dimensional color. It's called Zizabold.
So yeah, Hampton just, he retreats to the back of the cell and just sits down, leaning up against the wall, and goes, well, I think I'm set. Good luck, Cal.
Ross just like points finger guns at Cal and says, Ross is the scary one, just so you remember. Walks away and, like, gets some food for Anthony.
Ross is, like, rebranding after the whole crowbar incident.
This is not a rebrand. It's just occasionally the brand is very dark, but that's you don't fair. See that side until way later.
Ross is beloved by his cult.
That's usually how cults
yeah,
work.
Yeah, that's literally
how exactly.
Bear feels like she's being one-upped by Ross with him offering Hampthony all of, you know, these goodies.
Oh, no.
So she starts rooting around, like, in her pockets and finds root beer barrels that aren't wrapped with, like, lint and, like, a couple of rocks that wound up in her pocket after she, like, was yeeted off of her motorcycle and hands them to Cal.
Are these the same root beer barrels that Finch at one point found?
Probably.
I'll neither confirm nor deny.
I just have a vague memory of those being in Finch's pocket somewhere.
I just like the idea that they're there in multitudes. Like, there's just, like, 500 sticky root beer barrels pouring out of Bear's pockets out of nowhere.
They're all stuck together. She, like, tries to pull out one and pulls out a dozen.
They just manifest in your pockets whenever you come out of the maelstrom. That's where they come from.
They've all been licked by various creatures.
That's a good D&D item, actually. The bag of endless root beer barrels.
Ooh, a piece of candy.
So yeah, he takes what you offer him and gives you that, you know, that workplace smile that everyone gives each other where the lips don't go up. They just spread outwards. He gives you that one.
See, Bear will treat you real nice.
Thanks. Thank you.
You're welcome.
Well, we better make a plan. My friends, we need some people to go to Source to set this whole thing up. I need to get back home because apparently there is a traitor in the midst of my household who needs a serious pummeling.
I can send Crunch along with Hammy and some of the others to make sure things go as they should.
I think that would be wise. We're just looking at Ross.
Ross went upstairs to get more food.
Oh, God, wasn't there.
You just yell up the stairs, Ross, we're sending Hammy and Crunch to Source.
Okay, that Hold on.
Okay, that sounds like a good idea. Sorry, I am not good at yelling.
I was going to say, when your whole character's voice relies on being a bad whisper.
Man, what did Bob Ross sound like yelling?
Nobody knows.
I have tried to imagine that and failed in every instance.
And I saw it on your face as soon as you were faced with that predicament. I saw you go, oh shit, what does he sound like when he yells?
Terror swept me.
He broke out in a cold sweat.
Oh no, I thought I had all the facets of his emotions. All
right, so you're going to send a couple of your vultures with Cal to source then, Megan?
Or Bear, excuse me. I'll send Crunch and Hammy because they've been handling the operation, and Crunch is a former member of Source.
Mm-hmm.
With a written letter of business proposition.
Can you do the writing?
Yes, don't worry, dear. I've got that down.
We'll send some happy little people too, because I have a couple people who are also from Source.
Oh yeah, Norm.
Norm! And also the other guy.
Dwayne.
Dwayne, yeah. Because Dwayne was the guy I met in a bar.
Yep. Yeah, I'll send Crunch, Hammy, and like three other members from the gang.
All right, cool. So when we do our offshoot of the Roll Less Taken Roulette, you guys can take over those characters and go on that adventure.
The Roll Less Taken Source.
That's right.
Just for
dibs
drugs.
On Hammery.
You better bring the sass.
How would I don't even know how I would do that character. I would just insist that everyone refer to me as Hammery the entire time.
I have a full name.
Or be really, really upset that everyone refers to me as Hammery and insist that they called me Hammy, but no one does.
That's usually how that goes. All right, so is the next plan getting set up to go to Blackwell?
Yes.
I would say so, yeah.
For myself, at least.
Ross comes back down the stairs with, like, another, like, small orange, like one of the ones that he was eating before, and tosses it to Hamptony and just says, I recommend you peel that before you eat it, though. The peel's an acquired taste.
Yeah, once Finch gets, like, fills up his bag with some new clothes, he's coming back.
Okay. So you happen to walk back in just as Ross is tossing a tangerine to Hamptony.
Oh, can I have one too?
Sure. It's not full of bug meat though, but here you go.
He just like pulls one out of a shirt pocket. Hands it to Finch.
Finch peels it with his glass knife, which is unnecessary, but he does it anyway.
That's a good way to do it. That's the eye of a painter right there, seeing something that normal folk just don't.
And once it's peeled, he starts eating it like it's an apple.
I'm just going to ask what everyone wants to do before you leave Roulette, because at the start of next episode, and we've still got some time left, you will begin your journey to Blackwell.
I have to talk to Alistair. Yeah, I have to talk to him about some plans.
Okay. So Alistair is actually in the bar now, because at one point Finch was in the doctor's office and told everyone that they should go to the bar because that's where everyone's gathered.
Oh, that's right, because they needed help.
I was mostly trying to get the doctor there to do his job.
Yeah, as you get in there, you can see that pretty much everyone of significance is in there. Coco's there, Crunch is there, Hammery is there, Alistair is there, Dr. Mushy is there, and a bunch of random, you know, rando NPCs from town that say generic things when you talk to them. So,
oh, you're those bad people. I don't know about you.
I can't believe this happened to my town.
What was that noise? Did something horrible happen over there?
There's the one that you didn't finish the side quest for, and she keeps going, I still have two chickens missing. That's all she wants to talk about.
All right, so you're in the bar. What do?
What do? I go talk to Alistair.
Okay.
Alistair, if I could have just a minute of your time over here in the corner, I guess. Doesn't matter.
Well, of course, Miss Lemon.
Tomorrow, my associates and I are heading back home. We're going to Blackwell. I'm going to try to ferret out this traitor that you discovered or suspect. And I wanted to see if you would like to come with us or stay here. It is up to you if you are not feeling well enough for the journey.
Oh, I have a vested interest in figuring out where all of this is going, so I would surely like to accompany you back to Blackwell.
That is absolutely the best answer you could have given.
I am glad to hear that. There is one other piece of business. The good man, the doctor over there, and I have made an arrangement for the comfort of Cricket. As I have acquired a new business venture, I have also acquired the source of her medicine. And this good man here will be distilling it for us. And occasionally we will need someone to travel back and forth between here and Blackwell in order to refill the medication.
I'm assuming you mean me?
I mean either you or an agent of your choosing whom you trust once we find the traitor.
I think it should be me at this point.
Then it is you.
He's the traitor! Sorry.
That would be bananas. When did we say we were leaving?
Tomorrow morning?
Tomorrow morning. We'll leave it tomorrow morning.
At first light.
At first light. Oh, I said that last time. So I'll see you in the morning.
Very well, Miss Lemon.
Good man.
And see. Who's next?
I mean, Finch basically did what he wanted to do by going back to get clothes from his secret hideout base.
Okay.
That was so much character development.
Are they better fitting clothes?
Well, I wasn't sure if Mike was going to want to do anything while he was there.
Oh! Just, let's keep going. Don't worry.
Oh, God.
Ross, did you have any preparations to make?
So Ross would be informing the folks that are going to Source that they're going to Source. And then everyone else is going to get together. Well, including them, is going to get together for a good old family band time jamboree. So we're going to break out the pots and pans and play Sandstorm. And everyone's going to get dance around and get messy.
You can't even get content ID'd for that. That is definitely transformative media. That certainly qualifies.
For those that couldn't tell when just listening, that was a cover of Derude Sandstorm played by Tom slapping his mouth agape.
So, over the dulcet sounds of Sandstorm being played percussively there, what are you doing?
Bear's going to do the responsible thing and leave.
Pack up all of her drugs.
leave Coco in charge of the gang while she's gone.
Okay.
You know, because she'll make sure that they do what they need to, like help clean up, help rebuild, help whatever, protect the town. And she trusts Coco. And
she'll make sure they go to bed on time. She'll make sure they eat three meals.
But she'll let the gang know that she's going out of town. Bear will also let Crunch know what's going on.
Okay. Crunch is actually, like, he's got a leg wound from when the Winnebago blew up. He's got, like, a bandage on his leg, and he's sitting with his leg up on another chair. His arms are crossed, and he looks kind of huffy.
Crunchy.
You.
What's wrong?
You.
What do you think's wrong? Look at my fucking leg. This shit hurts.
That'll heal.
Yeah, my pride won't. Actually, you know what? I could have fucking died, so...
But you didn't.
Exactly. Yeah, bright side. Silver linings.
Yeah, the optimist.
Right.
So, we made a new friend.
Oh.
And his name is Cal.
That's a fucking stupid name.
Right, I said the same thing, and then he made fun of my name.
Okay.
Who calls themselves Crunch anyway?
Jesus.
Damn. Shots fired.
I'm sorry, I was upset. Anyway, Cal is a member of the Wolf Pack. And I was thinking if you're agreeable, we'd send you back to Source. And you can make a deal for the Wolf Pack to join the Vultures.
We're absorbing them?
Yeah.
Corporate mergers and acquisitions!
So do I get to be, like, the leader of the Source Club of the Vultures?
We can certainly talk about it. I mean, do you think you're ready for the responsibility?
Yeah. Yeah, I think so.
We can definitely talk about it with the VP.
Right, okay.
Because technically he's next in line.
Oh, man.
But if you bring him flowers and some spam, you might be able to sweet talk him.
I will keep that in mind.
But I'll put in a good word for you.
I appreciate it.
Godspeed, friend.
Bye.
Bye. And then I guess Bear will go to her room to pack. Bear's gonna try to get sober. So she's gonna get rid of the chrome that she's been hiding in her safe. Can I start like a little garbage can fire and just burn it?
Yeah, in the place that was just on fire? That sounds like a great plan,
it's
Megan.
Already, it's fine. It's fine. I'm a responsible adult.
Oh, please. It's not like we probably don't have a campfire going on around Darude's sandstorm anyway, so.
Yeah, I mean, there's a fire outside. But if you want to do it in the privacy of your own room, I suppose you can.
Yeah, because no one, I mean, everyone knows, but no one is supposed to know that Bear is keeping it for herself for personal use.
All right, make a cool roll.
Make a cool roll? Oh, God. You're going to make me burn down this bar completely. It's one of my highlighted stats, so this is good.
That's good.
So I got a 9.
That's a mixed success. So you start your garbage can fire, and it's going well, and then, like, a spark jumps off and lands on your bedspread, and you're like, shit, 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 but you manage to put it out.
Perfect. No one needs to know, ever. Bear pulls the bed, like, sheet or whatever it was, pulls it up and, like, flips it over so that the burnt side is covered.
Burnt side down.
Yeah.
It's what you do to your kids when you burn their toast.
Cover it with something that they'll never notice. But yeah, I'm going to get rid of my chrome. Going to pack the essentials. I was going to say Dr. Parsnip, His Holiness's favorite cat toy.
Man, that's a throwback.
Yeah, it is. Sorry. All of the felines. His favorite cat toy. Multiple cans of Spam. And then I'm going to go into my safe for a photo that I'm going to, like, tuck in my Bear's big book of words and phrases.
Okay.
To keep it hidden and keep it safe. And then also take a chain that has a ring on it, and she'll put it around her neck. And that's it.
Okay. I think that's everyone. So, Finch.
Hi.
When you were traversing through your tunnels back to your hideout, you get to your little alcove where you generally stay. It's where you've got, I don't know, do you have, like, an actual bed, or is it just, like, a pile of fabric that you sleep in?
I'm, like, in pile of fabric. I think he's got, like, a pile of fabric in one corner, and then, like one of those stands that's got a bunch of clothes, which is part of how he just is always putting on clothes. Clothes that he's scrounged up over the years.
Right. Okay. So as you're hanging out in there, you start to hear a heartbeat.
Oh, fun.
And you can't really tell where it's coming from. It sounds like it's basically coming from everywhere. And then some of the cell phones start to flicker and come to life, which, you know, that shouldn't be possible, but it's happened once before.
Yes.
And it really skeeved you out that first time.
Yeah. Can I like, check the maelstrom to see what the fuck's going on? Can I ask the maelstrom WTF?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, make your weird roll for me.
That would be a 13.
13. All right. Mark that experience.
Woo! I am one more experience away from leveling up.
You almost black out at this point.
Not again.
No, it's not a you're dying blackout. It's a, like, the vision is so vivid blackout. Okay. Like, you're basically almost transported away. You see that tree that you've been doodling all the time, the tree with the heart in it. Everything's in black and white, and you hear the sound of the heartbeat getting louder and louder. And as you get closer, you're kind of, like, floaty. You're not really in your body. It's kind of like when you yourself go and use your mother's heartbeat ability. You kind of float over to the tree, and as you get closer, the heartbeat gets louder. And it looks like there's someone sitting underneath the tree.
Hmm.
Who I'm assuming you want to go examine and get a good look at.
Nah.
Nah, fuck it. Let me go somewhere else.
Plots are lame. No, Finch does sort of swoop in, tries to get as close as he can, but, like, ready to bolt if he needs to, like a bird might.
So, yeah, you swoop in, try to get a good look at this person, and they look kind of like a younger version of Lemon. And then you realize you did a deep brain scan on Lemon that one time, and...
Oh, yeah.
That's Cricket that you're seeing.
Oh, boy.
And then you snap back to reality, and oh, there goes gravity. You fall down, and Mom's spaghetti.
All the spaghetti.
As you come back from your vision, all the cell phones go dead again, and you can no longer hear the heartbeat.
That's weird. Can I scan Cricket with the maelstrom?
Like, you wanna do another weird roll to try and see if you can see what's up with Cricket?
Yeah.
Yeah? Make another weird roll.
That would be a 15.
All right.
Damn, son.
Roll double sixes and I have a +3.
Mark experience.
Yep. So I level up.
And this isn't creepy at all. You get a vision of Cricket, and it looks like she's just in a bedroom, sleeping.
Hmm. I mean, is there anything I can, like, glean from this, from watching her? Like, any, I don't know, anything about why she might be in the maelstrom?
So as, I mean, you got a 15, so I gotta give you something, right? You could see this vision of her in her bedroom, and she's sleeping, and you see next to her on her nightstand is what looks like a journal. So you take a look at that, and you see the words, "It moved again. Where's Lemon?"
Okay. So Finch is going to pack up his stuff, put that on in his nice little messenger bag, and head on back to the group.
And next time you will begin your new journey to Blackwell.
Hey there. On behalf of the cast, me, Graham, Perry, Megan, Mike, and Tom, thanks for listening to another episode of The Role Less Taken. You can follow us on our various social media platforms, Instagram at The Role Less Taken, Twitter at Role Less Taken, we couldn't fit the, and on Facebook at The Role Less Taken. Please tell your friends about us and leave a review on your favorite pod platform. That actually really helps us out. Join us again next week as it continues to just go off the rails.